You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Love you guys. Please be seated. First service, we didn't have Mike Jacobs come. If any of you that stayed over, thank you very much. But we're sorry for the nursery workers. But, you know, I just told Mike, I really feel you have something to impart, and I asked him if he would come up. We're going on our 49th year of marriage. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, you can say looking good. Yeah, looking good.
Yeah. We've been dating for 50.
Yeah, we've been dating for 50. Yeah. Almost 51
almost
now.
51.
There you go. Yeah. I'm expecting something big at 50. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah.
Don't disappoint me there. What would you like to share, Mike?
I don't know. There were several things that I think that maybe will, or little pieces that come together, and I'll wrap them together. But Cindy and I are both native-born Texans. And Texans are different than other people. Unashamedly different than other people. And, you know, when I was growing up, people would say sometimes, like, well, if they didn't think things were going in the United States like they thought they ought to go, there was this urban legend that Texas had retained the right to secede if things ever stopped going the way they wanted.
We don't know where he's going with this.
By the way, that's not true. If you look at the enabling legislation that where Texas rejoined the Union, we do not have that right. But here's what you need to understand.
We don't really believe that.
A quintessential, authentic Texan would never speak of secession. We speak of taking over. You are in a season of expansion, from what I understand. And as I was sitting on the front row, I was remembering my namesake, Jacob. You know, we have a ladder and everything. I knew Cindy Jacobs before she was Cindy Jacobs.
That was supposed to be kind of a joke. Laugh.
If you will think back to me with Jacob and Jacob's ladder, it says that he came up on a place, like a certain place, and he laid down to rest there. It was not in a sanctuary. It was not in a building. Come up with me to about 10,000 feet, and imagine yourself, you're 10,000 feet above this facility. And look around you. Of course, you only have to be about 35 feet up in the air to see all of Texas, but still. 10,000 feet and look around you and imagine that you are Jacob and you're encountering God. And this is definitely a place that you can encounter God, but please, if you're going to expand, let's expand your view, your worldview, and your understanding. Because Jacob hit upon a place that was a place of promise. Any of you live in a place of promise? You're in Texas. And if you understand the house of God that he saw, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You are in Texas, you're in this specific geographic place, and this is none other than the house of God. God owns this place. God owns Texas. God owns the United States of America. He owns the earth. But someone has to have the recognition of that and to say, whenever there is something that raises its voice against the ownership of God of a place, someone needs to stand up and say, you will not say that. It is not true, because this belongs to God, and I will unashamedly steward the place that God has given me. No one has ever come into our house. We have a really nice house in Ovilla, Texas. And no one has ever come into our house and started singing, Mike and Cindy, you are welcome in this place. If they did, I would think they were a nut job. Because that is our place. They don't have to welcome me into the place that God's given me to steward. And you don't need people welcoming you into a place that God has given you to steward. And this is that place. This is that city. This is that state. And this is that nation. And it is yours to steward, because God has ordained that you be here geographically. And it is your place. Do not apologize for who you are and the territory that God has given you to steward. It is a time of expansion, but the first place you have to expand is your mind to be renewed to see the territory that God has given you. If you can't steward this little geographic territory, you will never be successful in stewarding Fort Worth. You will never be successful in stewarding the county where you are. You will never be successful in stewarding your state or your nation. And God is saying prophetically to you, you're entering into a season of expansion. I'm going to expand your territory. I'm going to expand your influence. I'm going to expand your voice. And he's looking for someone who will stand and steward unashamedly the territory that God has given you to steward. And that's what the Lord told me to share.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Amen. So the Lord says, it is time to take a stand. It is time to stand up and let your voice be heard, says the Lord. And the Lord says, even as I have given this house a governmental anointing, so I'm going to raise up city council members. I'm going to raise up school board members. I'm going to raise up those who are teachers, who are going to be reformers. And the Lord says, even from this day, watch and see, for there is a new reformation beginning. It begins now. It begins in a way greater than you can imagine. You have felt the rumblings of it, but now the shakings will take place. I'm going to shake the government of Fort Worth. I'm going to shake the school systems. It is a glory shaking, says the Lord. And you're going to see my glorious self will be revealed. And all the people said, amen. Come on, let's clap our hands. Thank you, Lord. Hey, you know, first service, I shared that the first time I prophesied, I was 4 years old. Did they open this? Nope. Here, Faitine, you were right. She goes, I'm going to open that for you. This is Faitine Grzeski. She is Canadian, actually, and American, but she is the head of the Canadian Prophets Roundtable. And she is so visible at our Global Prophetic Summit we had in November in Dallas. She showed a video of a pastor that was arrested and for allowing his people to sing in church because some were unvaccinated. How many of you, I mean, that means this church would have been shut down in Canada and you two would be in jail. They put the pastor in solitary confinement. And he just had church again outside in the snow. Did they arrest him again? He's up for trial. Can you imagine? Now, people say that can't happen in America. Oh, yes, it can happen in America. Hi, Daniel Plowman. Good to see you. He's a prophet. So I want to say to you, we've got to be sober and we've got to be alert. We cannot take for granted what we have. Listen, if we take it for granted, our children and our grandchildren will live under totalitarianism. I remember I prophesied some 20 years ago over the Miracle Channel in Canada. I prophesied that there would be a day they would arrest pastors in Canada for preaching the gospel. And not only that, I think what you say, that there is some kind of conversion therapy that the government has just authorized they'll pay for, you know, of your sex change. And if pastors preach against that from the pulpit, they'll be fined or arrested. That's Canada. That's our neighbors to the north. So I want to say to you, this is a sober time. It's one of the glorious times we have ever lived in, but we cannot take it for granted. It's time to wake up. God told the prophets, I'm going to shake till you awake. I'm going to shake till you awake. And so anyway, but back to what I was reminiscing about, the Lord told me, I was just sitting there, and he says, he reminded me that the first prophecy I ever gave was in Fort Worth, Texas, on Seminary Hill. When I prophesied when I was four that the birth of my little sister, Dad was just graduating from Southwestern Theological Seminary, and this is a well for me, guys. This is a well, and I haven't preached in Fort Worth in years. It's a well of the first time I ever started prophesying. So I think that's kind of significant, don't you think? I really believe it is significant. And so, you know, and the Lord would say, I am going to bring a prophetic movement out of this house. This is going to be a house of prophets, says the Lord. This is going to be a house of those who prophesy to governmental leaders. This is going to be a house of those who prophesy to influential people. Now, I want to say to you, in the past few months, I have prophesied over the president of Brazil, in Brazil, and the president of Guatemala. And one of the things I do most regularly is I prophesied over heads of state. And this is a regular thing for me. And I don't know, I don't remember giving this kind of prophecy. But if you know you are called to be a governmental prophet or a prophet to nations, maybe you're not yet, but you feel that calling, I want you to stand up. Okay, come up here. And yes, Miss Cindy, would you love somebody to play the keyboard while you're prophesying? Oh, yes, thank you very much. I would really like that. Thank you so much. Now, wow, look how many. Oh, my goodness. Look at this, Will. Isn't this amazing? Wow. Now, I could say bless your heart because if you're going to prophesy over heads of states, the Lord is going to put you through the refiner's fire. Now, I love you. How many feel like you've been in the refiner's fire? Oh, good. Welcome to the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Anyway, but I want to pray for you to have courage. I want to pray for you to be very accurate. I want to pray that God will position you in the right places. Now, I didn't do this first sermon at all, but I feel very strongly to do this. This, you have to be very sober and you have to be willing to pay a price. This comes with a high price tag. And you know, so listen, don't play. Don't play. And I remember, you know, when the Lord told me one day, he said, Cindy, when you go into a nation, I want you to ask to speak to the highest governmental authority of that nation. And I just began to meet with one head of state after the other. So I want to pray for courage for you. I want to pray for tenacity for you. You're going to have to live a fasted life. You're going to have to be willing to pay a price. People won't like you sometimes. Maybe you won't like you sometimes. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now for courage to prophesy over government leaders, over nations. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus for that. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Heather, come here. Come here. Let me see your hand. Whoa. Go. The Lord says, daughter, I am taking you to a higher place. I'm taking you to a place greater than you can imagine or dream. For the Lord says, not only are you going to prophesy, but you are going to be an activist. And the Lord says, I'm going to anoint your activism. And the Lord says, of course, you know, you told me about your fight against human trafficking. But the Lord says, not only are you going to be a justice gal, but the Lord says, I'm going to open doors one day to congressional hearings to you. I'm going to open doors to you, even into the Texas State Senate, into the Congress of Texas, but other business and parliamentary places around the world. And the Lord says, I'm giving you an anointing, yes, of the Esther, yes, of the Deborah, but to be a champion, says the Lord. So get ready, and I promise you, says the Lord, I will champion you when you champion me. And I'm going to give you great faith for finances. There's going to be millions of dollars that pour through these hands. Millions of dollars. I'm going to give you millionaire faith to do great projects for me in Jesus' name. Okay, you guys, don't touch her for a minute, all right? You ready? Okay, you can get ready, but I just want to... Yeah, there it is. Now I feel it going into her. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Will Ford, the Lord says, I am repositioning you to be a father into this church. And the Lord says, get ready. Because you're not only going to dig your own wells, but I am going to prosper you here. I'm going to prosper you financially, says the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the authority to overthrow poverty in the city of Fort Worth. And the Lord says, I'm going to make you a father to a whole tribe and generation of young men and young women. And the Lord says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And the Lord says, I will raise up that house of prayer. I'm going to raise up a prayer furnace through you, says the Lord. That is going to burn brightly. And the Lord says, there will be young people that are going to move here from the north and the south and the east and the west. I'm going to whistle for them, says the Lord, because they're going to want to come pray. And they're going to want to intercede. And the Lord said, even as I did in Kansas City, I'm going to open up a well of intercession here in the Fort Worth area, says the Lord. And the Lord says, even as there are wells from Calvary Cathedral of intercession and 24-hour house of prayer, I am entrusting you, says the Lord. I'm entrusting to Haviland. I'm entrusting you with the fire for a new generation. Ask of me the nation, says the Lord. The Lord says, I'm going to bring you to many, many nations, but the nations are going to come here, says the Lord, and you're going to shoot them out like an arrow. University campuses, God is going to open up the campuses to you, says the Lord. And the Lord says, get ready, because I'm going to do a work in your own family that you would not believe, though I told you. God says, I will not forget your own. I will give you the legacy that you have cried out to me for, says the Lord. Do not doubt it. I have a plan, and I will do it. There you go, Will. There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, rah, bah, 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 bah. Okay, come here. I can't remember your name. I know you told me. Was it Matt? No. It's Matt. Oh, Les. Yeah, there was another Matt. Thank you. Oh. You know, it's interesting. I laid hands on you. The first thing the Lord said to me was Lester Sumrall. Have you studied Lester Sumrall? Whew. You have an amazing delivering anointing. I see you, God using you to deliver people from drugs and alcohol. I see God using you to take a generation that is spaced out and drugged out. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you as a weapon against these things. And the Lord says, there's going to be many drug addicts that come into this church. And there's going to be many street kids. And there's going to be those that people have considered a throwaway generation. But God says, I'm going to use you to bring the prodigals home. I'm going to use you to bring those who are hopeless home. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for all of Texas and beyond for this anointing. For the universities. Thank you, Lord, for university revival greater than you can imagine and dream. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now shake that building loose, Lord. Shake it loose. We speak to that building in Waco. We shake it loose. For God's kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Yeah. 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 Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Now let me prophesy over the worship. The Lord told the prophets that worship was the key. I chair the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. We've been meeting for 22 years prophesying. Faitine's part of our group. Will's part of our group. Willing to have them both. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, this prophetic thing is so wild in this house. Say, like, wow. I almost can't get out of that stream, you know. Whoa. Yeah. Oh. Gonna wait a minute. Look, don't rush the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. The Lord told us worship was the key to break down strongholds. And the Lord shows me that you have punched a hole into the heavens through your worship, that you have pierced the darkness through your worship. And the Lord says, daughter, I found you. I found you. I chose you. And I don't know what all you did before this, but the Lord says, I put you in this place supernaturally. This was of my choosing, and this was of my doing, says the Lord. The Lord says, you're going to break down racial barriers. You're going to break down the barriers that have existed in Fort Worth of racism. Oh, you're going to be a reconciler, says the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to anoint you and your worship team to write. I see literally manuscripts from heaven being brought. And I see you writing the new sound for the new day. You're going to write the sound for the revival and the reformation. And the Lord says, watch and see, because I've given you a dream team, says the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you together. And the Lord says, look and see, because I see high schoolers and children that are going to be worship leaders. And the Lord says, there's going to be children worship leaders. I see children leading the worship. I see high schoolers, junior high schoolers. The Lord says, not team, but teams and teams and teams, says the Lord. And I'm going to bring them, and I'm going to send them out. And the Lord says, there's going to be a day that you and this church will be part of a stadium event. And this stadium event is going to release the heavens. You're going to network. You're going to gather and bring many together, says the Lord. And so this is why you have gone through such the fire. You have gone through a great fire. Even to the point of you have just said, Lord, this is too much. The Lord says, you passed the test. You passed the test. The Lord's just comforting you. He's comforting you. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is a just God. You're going to get justice. Your family's going to get justice. It's going to see that it's done. Justice for the generations. There's something in the generations that God is reaching back and he says, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Take it. Take it. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. You know, Will Ford, I, among others, but I have the honor to call him a son. And I remember, you know, he was raised in Fort Worth here. And I remember him talking about how his daddy would tell him what to do if he was ever stopped by a policeman to make sure that, remember, you put your hands, you know, on the dashboard, how you have to act. He suffered racism in this city. But I want to say something. This is going to be a racist-free church. This is going to be a racist-free zone. This is going to be a church of justice. You're going to marry righteousness and justice. Justice is going to run down like a river. It's going to run down like a torrent. And the history of the KKK in this area and the different things that have happened that are atrocious, God says, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to, like the word, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. How does God do that? We don't know. We don't know. But listen, William Ford, we vow that Benjamin, Samuel, your children, they're never going to have to worry about that. They're not going to have to worry if they're going to be shot or killed. But a policeman stops them. Because we're going to fight. Come on, right? We're going to fight for a different world. We're going to fight for a different way. God is a just God. And I prophesy this church will marry righteousness and justice. Marry righteousness and justice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Something creative happened. The Lord told me this would be a church of innovation. You're going to expand your territories, enlarge the place of your territories. You're going to expand to the right and the left. The Lord told me that you're going to start planting churches. Now, I want to tell you something. I had no idea you were had a plan to plant a church in Waco. I didn't go on the website before I came. I tell people, don't tell me what you're doing because I want it to be a pure word. But the Lord said you're going to plant in rural areas, that they're rural areas that have had no charismatic presence. And I want to tell you, in this room, there are church planters. In this room, there are those. If you stay and you pay the price here and you're faithful in discipleship, God's going to raise you up. It's going to raise you up in ways you can't imagine or dream. And I see just fires of revival. Come on, men and women. God's going to send you out. Going to send you out. He's going to have his burning ones. And I keep saying this, I said at first service, don't play. Don't mess with God. You've got to be 100% sold out. You got to be 100% holy. Listen, if you're 98% holy, that 2% poison will kill you. You got to be countercultural. You know, we've been subcultural as the church. But God is looking for those who are radical, sold out, 100%. You don't look like the world. You don't smell like the world. When somebody meets you, you don't have any religion in you. But the power of God is so manifest. Radical. 100% radical. And these creatives, the Lord told me this was going to be a church of innovators. In fact, I know you have this wonderful screen here, but I kept seeing like more screens. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but I saw more screens up here. I saw more lights, and the Lord is going to give you an upgrade. Okay, that's one of the words the prophets had, upgrade. You watch and see, it's going to happen. And I want to say something. Who you align to is what manifests in your life. When you align somewhere properly, the anointing on that house gets on you. You know, it's like we go to Trinity Church in Cedar Hill, and Mike and I, 18 years ago, we aligned with that house. And boy, I tell you, it has blessed our socks off. I mean, we're in church on Sunday. We travel, but when we are home, we are in church. Will can tell you, we're in church, and we have a submitted soul. I want to tell you a key to understand the authority of God is to have a submitted soul. Boy, I feel something. This is what I see happening right now. I see the Spirit of God choosing. It's like in the balcony, those listening online, he's moving. And he's marking some of you, and you know it's you. It's like some of you, your insides are shaking. There's a longing coming up in your heart. The Lord called me to preach when I was 9 years old. 9 years old. What does a 9-year-old kid know? Oh, I knew. You know, you've heard people say there's no junior Holy Spirit. When I was 9 years old at a church camp, teacher said, go sit on a rock and God will talk to you. And I did, and he did. A good Baptist girl. We didn't know what that was. And I would hear about nations. I would just beg God to send me to those nations. I would just beg God. And then when he called me when I was in Weatherford, Texas, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I started having visions of me preaching in stadiums. I thought I was hallucinating. First of all, I didn't know any women that ever did that. I didn't know a single woman preacher when I began. And so, you know, but I started seeing pictures of miracles, all kinds of miracles. Listen, God will show you things that are so far beyond you. Expand your territory, enlarge the place of your tent. I pray that prayer of Jabez every day. Maybe what you're feeling inside is so big, it almost scares you. Good. I remember when I was 39, probably 40 by that time, when I did my first outdoor meeting in Argentina in Resistencia in the northern Chaco province. I had never preached a large gathering like that. But you see, I'd had visions of it. I had prayed it in when I was young. And I remember standing. And it was just like a sea of people, as far as you could see. We had a very high platform, and the intercessors, I loved it, because they would crawl under the platform, and that was our spiritual nuclear plant. And you could feel the platform shaking, you know. I could feel it like creeping up through my feet. But God gave me the gift of faith. I remember I was preaching, and you know, there they have this witchcraft they call Macumba. Anybody know about Macumba? It's a mix of African witchcraft and Brazilian witchcraft kind of mixed together. And I won't go into it, but, you know, read my book, Deliver Us From Evil. I didn't even give away any of those. Maybe I'll do it at the end. So I said, there's somebody way out over there. You're a Macumba priest, and you are cursing this meeting. And I stopped a minute, and I said, it's not working. Someone told me later that there was a Macumba priest right there in front of them, and they had set up their little candles, and they were throwing around little poofy things. And, you know, when they said that it's not working, they just blew out their candles, put them away in their little suitcase, and went home. Listen, we've got to have a courage. We've got to be audacious. You know, some people say, well, how do you know you have the anointing for that? You just do it by faith. I didn't feel any big anointing. I didn't feel like a cloud of glory over me. I just knew the word. And I know how to work the word. Amen? I knew if I was obedient and I got up there and I did what God had called me to do, that he would do what he could do. Amen? You have to press for the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You know, I said in the first service, God has not ordained you to live some boring, stupid life. None of you are called to be mediocre. There's greatness inside of you because there's a great God inside of you. You have to make a decision. Make it today. That next year, you're not going to be in the place you are this year. That next year, you're going to be out of poverty. The next year, you're going to walk in healing. The next year, how many souls do you want to see saved? I have a goal. It's one reason we had gone on television in Arabic. I want to win 1 million people to the Lord from the Middle East. If you don't set a goal, you don't make it. At least believe for one. Okay, can you believe to get one person saved? All right? I believe God wants to do great things. The Lord told me that there's going to be an authority come out of this house. Isaiah 22:22, it's one of my favorite Bible verses. Well, Isaiah is my favorite book of the Bible, okay? The key of the house of David I will lay in his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. There have been things shut to you that God is going to give you the authority to open. One time I was in Northern England. I was in a city called Sunderland, England. Now, that might mean something to some of you, might not. But there was a man, a mighty man of faith named Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth saw at least 13 people raised from the dead, maybe more. Well, this is where God, the city where God touched this man. So one day we're driving through this city, and with some friends of ours, Lois and Ken, got great revivalists. In fact, her father was friends with Smith Wigglesworth. And so, you know, we were driving and they said, oh, right over there, they pointed to a place, is where Smith Wigglesworth was prayed for by the vicar's wife and he received the Holy Spirit. And they're just driving and I go, stop the car. I mean, what is this? We're just going to, like, do the drive-by thing. And it was there was a tall wall, and there was a gate. And they said, well, you can't get in. I said, oh, but I have a key. I have the key to the house of David. And he's going to open what no man can shut. I said, you don't know till you try. So we went. I pushed on the door, and it opened. Some of you haven't even tried to push on the door. Oh, ouch. That was the prophet in me. And so we go in, and this place is all overgrown. I mean, there's vines running across the sidewalks. And you know, it's just like, it's a mess, this old vicarage. And I remember standing there and saying, God has opened this door because there's going to be a revival that come to Sunderland once again. And as a sign that this is true, this home is going to be purchased and rebuilt and renewed. So I went along my way. I didn't know what was happening. Went to the meeting. But you know what? I got something. You know, sometimes you're in a place that's anointed of God and you get something. There's something that gets on you, just like it's happening this morning. Something is getting on you. And so, you know, I went to the meeting that night. I don't know if you believe any of this, but I'm telling you this is true. And the power of God started falling, and they came running in and they said, gold dust is falling in piles in the overflow room. I think there's a lesson in that somewhere. And then I said, was there anyone here that was in the Smith Wigglesworth revival? This was years ago. I said he'd be pretty old. And they said, there's one old missionary that just came back from the field, and he's in the overflow room. I was like, yeah. You know, that's how we honor people, right? You know, I was so embarrassed. Anyway, I said, well, bring him here. And he came to the platform. We had pastors from all over Europe in that meeting. This was in the north, where John, I won't go into, John Wesley preached there and revival fell. And, you know, many things happened in the north of England. So anyway, this man stood, and, you know, he must have been in the hospital. He had a bandage on his hand, you know, a bandage on his face. And he stood on the platform, and he's like this. You know, like his knees, kind of, like I'm going, oh, is this guy going to die on us right in the middle of the meeting? You know, he's kind of shaky. I said, can we get you a chair? You know, he goes, no. I said, I called up pastors. I said, you want that anointing from Wigglesworth. And so about 50 pastors came up from Europe. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, this guy, Mike, was there. This guy became a lion. He stands up and he goes, and now, God. And he began to pray for them. Those pastors went, thump. Mike and I aren't dumb. We hit our knees, you know, like, put her there. You know, we wanted that anointing. I want to tell you something. Someone purchased that building that we know it has been refurbished, and I'm telling you, the glory of God is the fire of God is going to burn in the north of England again. Now, I remember when this church was Calvary Cathedral, and I met these lovely ladies and gentlemen here who are involved with it. And please give Pastor Bob Nichols my dear love, because I preached here, you know, 30 years ago. And they brought a great big baptismal tank, and Rodney Howard Brown was having the baptism revival. I don't know if any of you, anybody was here for that? Yeah, you remember that? People would just get near the water and the power of God hit them and then knock them out. You know, I tell you what, there's so many moves of God here. And there's wells that you have inherited. And somebody's going to take that mantle. Come on, somebody's going to take it. You know, and I said in the first service, just say, pick me, Jesus. Come on, I want to be used for that. You know, and maybe you're new here. You don't hardly understand a word I'm saying, but something's getting on you. Maybe you don't know, but anybody I talked about, it doesn't matter. Something is getting on you. Greatness is getting on you today. The power of God is coming upon you today. I haven't gone to any of my 1, 2, 3, 4 sermon notes, but that's okay. For Mercy Culture, a season of great harvest and multiplication, discipleship, churches will be planted, and many people will be discipled of the Lord. What does that mean? In many revivals, there's a great falling away. People get saved, but they don't stay in the kingdom. Now, Landon, come here. Let me pray for you, please. Yeah. Heather, come stand with him, please. The Lord says, I'm going to give you a model of revival and reformation. And the Lord says, this is so big, and you don't really even know how to do it. But the Lord says, I am going to show you the way of how to do this, says the Lord. And so you're not going to be one of those churches that blows up and blows out. The Lord says you're going to be a church that lasts in the generations. This is a generational church that's going to have legacy for your children and your children's children, says the Lord. This, you are preparing the way of the Lord for the greatest generation the earth has ever seen. And this will be your legacy, your own natural children, but your children's children of those who are here, and the children's children's children, says the Lord. And the Lord says, yes, you will plant churches. You're going to be a model. You're going to write books. I'm going to show you how to be a father to the fatherless. But the Lord says, watch and see what I'm going to do for you on a personal level. For the Lord says, I'm going to refresh your soul. I'm going to refresh it on such a deep level, you won't have words quite to describe it. And the Lord says, then you're going to refresh many others. And the Lord says, because you gave me your yes, when others had given me their no, I am going to raise up a school of the prophets through you. I'm going to raise up a house of apostles. You're going to train apostles. And the Lord says, you will see that I'm going to marry it with intercessory prayer. Apostles, prophets, intercessory prayer. And the Lord says, you're going to expand. You're going to expand to the left and the right. I see Fort Worth being filled with branches. And it's not going to take away from this branch at all. It's not going to take away from the mother church. And the Lord says, watch and what I will see. And there are those who have been jealous of you. There have been those that have been around a long time. And they said, why is that happening for Mercy Culture? The Lord says, pay them no mind. Because those that have been your greatest critics are going to be your greatest friends. And I'm going to do what you wouldn't believe is possible. And you are going after miracles, and the Lord says the miracles are coming. There's going to be a visitation of historic proportion. And I will make this place a pilgrimage place. And people just like Brownsville and just like Bethel, people are going to come here from the north and the south and the east and the west to dip their feet and their toes into the well of revival and reformation. And I'm going to give you a reformation plan. And the Lord says, just like I gave Martin Luther and just like I gave Wilberforce, you're going to have a Wilberforce anointing, says God. And the Lord says, I will give you the money for the houses, for those who are human trafficked. I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to be stunned. I already have a donor in place, says the Lord. You have dreamed such big dreams that at times Satan tells you you have bitten off more than you can chew, but that is a lie. And so the Lord says, you will plant with revival, but you will be reformers. So, Father, we thank you for this couple of revivalists. Thank you, Lord, for the many nations. You're a nations guy. Landon, you're a nations guy. You burn with the nations. Lord says, don't worry, you're going to go to many. Oh, I see Russia for you. Russia, Russia, Russia. And the Lord says, I'll make a way for you to go to these nations. Don't even worry about it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. Clap your hands and thank God for what he's done. Wow. Well. Oh, yes. The Lord says this will be a church of givers. Extravagant givers. Now, some of you, I'm going to say this with great love and tenderness, you are robbing God because you are not tithing. Don't look at anybody. And some of you have said, you know, I don't have the money to tithe. You don't have the money not to tithe. I remember one time Mike and I were at a place in the ministry where, I mean, this was like Friday. We'd gone to San Antonio. We're going to have to bring my mother home, put her in a nursing home. And we had no way to raise the money. And I got a call from our accountant and said, we've got to pay $50,000 on Monday. I mean, not like delayed. We owe it on Monday. We didn't know what to do. Mike and I were in this little travel lodge hotel room in San Antonio. I mean, we had all this family pressure. And we knelt down by the bed. And we just cried out to God. And the Lord spoke to us. I want you to give every penny that you have in the ministry away. Every penny. Today. So we called and found out how much money we had, and we just started calling our friends in ministry, said, we're sowing to you, we're sowing to you. We didn't even tell them our need. It was so much fun. And finally we called the accountant and we said, did we give away every penny? And she said, yes, you gave away every penny. On Monday morning, we were driving from San Antonio back here to the Dallas area. We got a call. We didn't solicit funds from anybody. Someone said, I'm sending you $50,000 today. You will have it in the bank. Come on, you can't outgive God. If you don't learn to be a giver, you will never see your destiny. Every day, find a place to give. Let me tell you one story about giving. There's a great missionary statesman, Daniel Plowman knows him, named Wayne Myers. He used to teach at Christ for the Nations. Anybody heard of him? If you're a CFNI student, you know that name. And Brother Wayne was a missionary statesman to Mexico. And the Lord awakened me in the night a few months ago and said, I didn't even know he'd written a book. He said, I want you to find his book on giving. So I went on Amazon and I ordered it. And it was all about living to give and how he would go into the poorest areas of Mexico and teach them on giving. And he was at one city, very, very poor in Mexico, and there was an anniversary of their church that weekend. And, they realized they invited all these people to come from all these other areas, but they had nothing to feed them with when they got there. These people were going to be hungry. I mean, it wasn't like you just go to the supermarket or something and buy food. And so finally, Brother Myers encouraged them to give. And a woman said, well, I will give the beans. I have enough beans. Someone else, well, I have avocados. I will make the guacamole. Another one says, well, I have corn. I'll grind the corn. But the biggest problem was the meat. No one had meat. So finally, from the back, this one old guy raised his hand, like the poorest one there. And he said, I will give the meat. And they're looking at him incredulously, you know, like, you're going to give the meat? You are the poorest one. You are like the most pathetic one in the congregation. And he said, I want 6 men to come tomorrow morning. He said, when do you need it? And they said, in 2 days. And come with your horses and ropes, and we're going to get the meat. Now, they were going to go deer hunting, he said. The problem was no one had seen a deer in 17 years in that area. But he had faith. You understanding this? So they went riding out, and after a while, there was a deer right in front of him, and he raised his old decrepit rifle and shot it. One shot took it down. They tied it up to bring it back. And as they were starting on the path home, there was a magnificent huge buck. And the same thing, he raised that rifle and shot it. And they had abundance of meat for everything they needed. Listen, God can eradicate poverty. But you need faith. And this is the word of the Lord. Some of you have lacked faith in God because you don't know how to give. But if you will begin to give to God, God is going to transform your life. Some people are on fixed incomes, and you think, how can I possibly tithe? I remember challenging my brother to tithe. He's on a fixed income. He came back from China after 25 years. He started tithing. And you know what? He just gets these odd checks, random checks, money he never expected come in the mail. I want to say to you, when you tithe and give offerings, you release the creative anointing of God to bring everything you need. I want you to stand on your feet. Now listen. It's very simple. Very simple what I'm teaching you today. Read the book, do the stuff. It's very easy. Work the word. Work the word. And God will change your life. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Today you might say to me, Miss Cindy, there's compromise in my life. I'm not following God as I could be. Or maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a problem with pornography. Maybe you're addicted to something. And I want to say, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're just away from God. Or maybe you've never accepted Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to come to the front right now. Come on, right now. Come on, believers, pray. Come on, right now. Who will be the first one? Somebody run down here. Thank you, baby. Who else? Come on. Come on. Come to Jesus right now. Thank you. Come on. Come to the balcony. Come on, right now. This is the day of salvation. This is the day God is going to change your life, take you out of darkness, bring you to life. Listen, is it your sin making you miserable? Aren't you tired of being depressed? Aren't you tired of being in the condition that you're in? Come to Jesus. There's more. Come on, let's clap our hands, believers. Are we praying? Come on, more are coming, more are coming, more are coming. Come on. Come on. This looks like revival to me. Come on, maybe you're next to somebody and you know they need to come up here. Say, you come on from the balcony. Come on, we're gonna wait for you. Come on, they're coming. Come on down. Come on down right now. Come on. Come on. Teenagers, come on. Get part of this life. can't you say, I'm going to be the best dad in the world? You can't do without Jesus Christ. Come on, mamas. Come on, grandmothers. Come on, grandfathers. Today is the day of salvation. Come on, more are coming. Come on, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If there's compromise in your life, let's get that stinking stuff out of there. Listen, you're sleeping around on the weekend and then coming asking Jesus to forgive you on Sundays. You gotta get over that mess. Somebody here, you're living with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Come on, come to Jesus and marry him and make things right. Come on, come right now. Come right now. I don't feel like everybody's up here yet. Come on, some more are coming, some more are coming. Come on, Christians, pray. Christians, pray. Come on, Christians, pray. This is a very important time right now. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Somebody said, well, I don't need to go up there to get right from God. You are the very one. You get your you-know-what blessed assurance up here right now. Right now, come on from the balcony. Come on, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Take the person near you and say, you know you need to come to Jesus. Yeah, some more are coming. I see some more coming down right now. Come on, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. I can see them coming from the balcony. There you go. Yay, I'm proud of you. There they are coming. I'm proud of you. I'm proud. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. You know what? Some of you might think, well, what will people think? Well, pride is like the bad breath. You know, you're the last one to know you have it. Just get rid of your stinking pride. I'd rather care what Jesus thinks about me than what anybody else thinks. You just need to say, I don't give a rip what anybody thinks about me. It's between me and Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I want you to look at me, all of those that have come. Thank you, son, for coming. Thank you. Come on. Listen. This is going to be an amazing day. Young people, this is going to be an amazing day. Thank you, kids. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I know it's hard to come up here, but I'm very proud of you. Proud of you, darling. I love those tears. Love those tears. We're going to pray with you. Some of you are in depression. Some of you are in addiction. Some of you are into pornography. Some of you are just into all kinds of sin. Some of you are just growing cold, just cold in your heart towards God. And some of you never have asked Jesus into your heart. So let's raise our hands together, can we? Let's raise our hands. It's between you and God. Let's all pray, can we? Let's help them. Say, dear God, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Lord, I've done wrong things. I need your forgiveness. And thank you, God, today, for forgiving me. I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.